This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. The Bloom Trio is the coming together of three professional musicians who also happen to be mothers. Violinist Maria Lorcas, cellist Lisa Wright, and violist Kathleen Overfield Zook, frankly, got tired of having to travel so far away from home in order to land quality gigs. Hence, the Blooms. Violist Kathleen came by to talk with me about motherhood, the Blooms, and having a viable professional career in classical music. Why the viola?
Okay, viola is a very simple question. Yeah, it was in third grade in my school, you were allowed to start string instruments. So they came in and they showed us all the instruments that we could play. We could play the violin, or we could play viola, the cello, double bass. And I quickly ruled out the cello and the double bass because it was just too big. I didn't want to lug that thing around. And then
You are a petite.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured I was probably not cut out for the double bass. And then I decided the violin was too squeaky. And so there was the viola. It was the only one left.
When did you get serious about it? And how did that happen?
You know, I think when I became really passionate about the classical music, kind of rediscovering how much I loved it, was when I joined my youth orchestra in high school. I started my youth orchestra, Vermont Youth Orchestra, directed by Troy Peters, who's now down in San Antonio. It was a fantastic experience.
So you had a fabulous conductor.
Great conductor. And he was also my teacher. And it was the kind of thing where I was in this youth orchestra. I had tons of friends. We were playing great music. And so it was a social as well as a musical experience, which, yeah, it was like, God, I love this. You know, this is great. I love playing an orchestra. I joined, I had a string quartet the next year that we played gigs all over the state. For senior in high school, that's a pretty cool thing to be making money doing string quartet. Honestly, I didn't really get serious about like practicing and getting better until I got into college when I was like, okay, this is my time to really become a professional. That was when I really kind of flipped the switch on being like, okay, I got to work. You know, it can't just be fun all the time. I actually have to get in the practice room. So
I want to go back to the music.
Yeah.
I grew up with classical music and I, as soon as I could, began listening to the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
What about classical music delights you?
Oh, man. That's a tough question. I think as far as orchestral repertoire goes, it's just the scope of it. It's just so massive. You know, when you have 100 people on stage and the brass and the percussion and, you know, all of that, it's so powerful. It's so strong. And then on the opposite side of it, you can have a solo violin or solo piano where you can get completely different effect. It can be so intimate and so tender and so personal, you know? And so I think that's what it is. It's this broad spectrum.
The range of the music
itself. And the emotions and the size. And then you go to opera, which is like a completely different phase of size. And then you think about the men and the women, too, mostly men. But, you know, there are the few women out there, too, that wrote this music and just the complexity of their minds and the brilliance of their abilities.
To be able to think in music.
You know, I do feel like there's a similarity between, and not even thinking about like opera and operetta, like, you know, there's a similarity between music and theater. It's still capturing an emotion. It's still portraying some sort of human feeling, but it's done through notes and phrases and timbre and color and orchestration instead of words. It's amazing what classical music can do. And then another thing is you think about pop music and they have words, they have text. And obviously much of classical music is song and lieder and has text as well. But, you know, if you think of truly strictly orchestral music where you're just dealing with instruments and there's no words, there's still a story. There's still emotion.
I wish people could see your face talking about classical music. It is a light.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, why did you decide to get serious? Was this a decision? Did this? Oh, well, let me back up a minute. Mm-hmm. Did you make the decision about where to go to college based on getting serious about music?
You know, it's funny. I didn't. When I graduated from high school, I wanted to go into journalism, actually. I wanted, or journalism, or
what
publishing, or something.
Have?
Yes. I was an English major when I started college, and I had a great teacher. I started at the University of Vermont, right where I grew up. My dad was on faculty. And, you know, I started an English degree and was enjoying it very, very much. And then I had a great teacher, there at UVM, and she kind of made me realize, well, maybe I'm not so bad, actually. Maybe I could, if I work, I could maybe do this. And so then she encouraged me to go to a summer festival in upstate New York called Meadowmount. And this had been founded by a very famous pedagogue, Ivan Galamian, who basically he wanted his Juilliard students and his Peabody students and his Indiana students to be able to go somewhere during the summer where they would not be distracted by anything and they could literally just practice all day. And so it's scheduled where you have 5 hours of practice every day. And then on top of that, you have chamber coachings every day. You have lessons a couple times a week. So it's very intensive. And I went there the summer after my sophomore year of college when I was still at UVM. And it was completely eye-opening. You know, you see these kids who are 13 playing Tchaikovsky violin concerto, like the best soloists you could imagine. And then I also saw myself fitting in with my peers who were going to Juilliard and to Indiana and to Michigan and to these like, bigger music schools. And so that was when I realized, okay, not only do I love this, not only am I not okay, but I could actually be competitive if I really wanted to be. And so that was when I decided, okay, I got to transfer to a bigger music school. So I transferred to the University of Michigan, School of Music there. And, you know, that was when I really kind of realized, okay, if I'm really going to do this, I got to go in, you know, all chips in, you know, no holding back anymore.
So this was going to be your career.
Correct.
A career in classical music,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a bit like saying I'm going to be a writer
exactly.
when I grow up
yeah.
or I'm going
an
to
actor,
be an actor.
Or, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To have a career in the arts, mm-hmm. there's lots of talented people mm-hmm. and there's lots of people who will work hard.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a je ne sais quoi of focus or sort of belief in yourself or
it's a determination. Because it's not easy. It's not like you are about to graduate from college and there are job fairs for classical musicians or recruiting officers coming, you know, to hire you. It's incredibly hard to get a job. It's incredibly hard. An orchestral job. It's very, very competitive. There will be, over the course of a year, there will be maybe 10 viola openings for jobs that would be full time, where you could actually have a house and have a family and have health care, you know, and for those 10 jobs, they easily get 400, 500 applicants for each one. And then from those 500, maybe 70 are allowed to audition. And then from those 70, one person gets the job. And so you have to just be, yeah, you have to kind of be relentless and just not let those overwhelming odds get to you.
Or take rejection personally,
right.
I guess.
Oh, man.
So let it rejection
exactly.
Make, chip away.
Because
and...
I remember, as a younger musician, yeah, I was taking lots of orchestral auditions. And I remember going to one and just thinking, okay, I played so well and I didn't get the job. And, you know, I remember coming home and someone saying to me, I don't remember who it was. It might have been my husband. He said, you know, just because you play an audition and it doesn't go well doesn't mean you're a bad player. And just because you play an audition and it does go well doesn't mean you're a good player, right? So that's the tricky thing is that, you know, it's an audition is a very kind of faulty means of getting a job, but that's all we have. So.
You graduated from college.
Correct.
With self-confidence and full chops or
yes.
chops on the viola.
Yes.
So what happened?
Okay, so after I stayed at Michigan for a master's degree after my undergraduate, and I graduated in spring of 2005. I got married before I left Ann Arbor to my husband, Ian, who's the French horn professor at JMU.
I was going to say, how'd you get here?
Yeah, and so he was going to go start a doctorate. We musicians don't get PhDs. We get Doctorate of Musical Arts, DMAs. So he was going to go start one of those in New Jersey. So we moved to New Jersey. Yeah, so I started taking auditions. I got a couple students, and then we realized that New Jersey was not the place for us. So we moved to Philadelphia, where we were much happier for a couple years, and then he got the job here at JMU, and so we are here now.
And here you are.
Yes.
I'm always interested in people who essentially have what I call large market chops mm-hmm. and choose to live small
yeah.
market.
Yeah.
And how they make it work.
Yeah.
And I'm delighted with the story of the Bloom Trio. So if you could tell us what your life has been like as a professional mm-hmm. musician here in the Shenandoah Valley that led to the formation of the Bloom Trio?
Sure, sure. I really like living here. It's a beautiful place to live. The mountains, you know, I grew up, yeah, in Vermont, so it's very much like home.
People are nice.
Yeah, exactly. It's, living in Philadelphia, coming here, it's like, wait, there's no traffic. There's no, you know, rush hour is like, you know, a mile and a half back up on Port Road. It's not bad. But it was definitely a transition. Living in Philadelphia, there's lots of work for classical musicians, and I was lucky enough to have work, you know, as a performer.
So you did get some auditions that worked.
I did, yeah. No, I mean, I'm the assistant principal of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania Symphony, which I've had that job since 2006, and I had been a member of the Vermont Symphony and, you know, various other things. So yeah, mm-hmm. I won a few auditions. Never a big one. But, you know, so it was definitely a transition to come down here where there just isn't as much. And what there is great, but it's just a population thing. There just isn't the number of people to support a major orchestra in Harrisonburg. There isn't, you know, there just isn't the size. And so, you know, I was definitely a little nervous to see what my future would hold. And it was great to come down here because we knew my husband had a great job. And yes. So that's, you know, that's kind of like, okay, we got health care, we got a salary taken care of, you know, that's good. But at the same time, you know, you want to work too. You want to still feel like you're, you know, doing something. And so I was very lucky early on to get hired by Sharon Miller at the Shenandoah Valley Preparatory Music Program through EMU. And so started there my first year. Then I started working for the Roanoke Symphony. I played with the Richmond Symphony.
So you're traveling.
Yeah. Played down in Lynchburg at the Opera on the James. I still keep my job up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which is about 245 up there. And so it was a lot of time driving up and down the I-81 corridor. I'm very familiar with that road now. And then I had a baby.
Oh.
Yes.
That does change things.
And it suddenly became, I didn't want to leave. I wanted to be with him. You know, I wanted to be home at night so I could put him to sleep. And I wanted to be around during the day so I could, you know, just play with him and be with him, because it's amazing. You know, it's amazing being a mom. And so in the interim, kind of during these years, since we've moved here, you know, I've gotten to know Lisa Wright and Maria Lorcas, who are my other two Bloom Trio members.
Cello and violin, respectively.
Exactly. And they're both moms, too. And, you know, we all teach at EMU together. And so we'd played on a faculty concert here, and we did a wedding together here. And we always had a great time and got along really well and played well together. And it was always a treat to work with them. And so this past year, you know, I was struggling to kind of find the balance between still wanting to play these gigs that I'd been playing. I also teach at JMU in the music theory department. I teach ear training to freshmen.
It's a good time to tackle it.
Exactly. I get them first thing. I'm actually a lot of times their first teacher they ever have in college. 8 a.m. Monday morning. Here I am. You know, but it was trying to find the balance between, okay, I have this job at JMU, I have my students, I have these gigs, but then I have my family who, you know, it has to be the priority, right? I mean, that, but then at the same time, you want to provide for the family, you want to be making enough money so that you feel like
be professionally engaged.
Exactly. And then you want to feel like you're still putting all that education to use and all those hours that you've spent, you know, honing your instrument.
Plus, I would imagine you want to make good music.
Exactly. And you want to feel like you're performing at a high level. And so at the end of last school year, I just sent Lisa and Maria an email and I was like, what do you guys think if we did this, you know, and we'd kind of keep it, you know, no more than like an hour and a half from home so we can be back for dinner time. And yeah, just doing gigs that we want to do, because so much of what we do as a musician is on someone else's terms, at someone else's time. You know, they say how much you're going to get paid. They say where you have to go. You know, so much of it is that. And we do it because we don't have any other option. They call it driving for dollars. You have to do it. You have to go where the money is.
I like it. You made your own option.
Yeah, exactly. And so we wanted to just have something that we were in control of and that we could take ownership of and really feel like this was ours and we could control it and shape it and make it be what we wanted it to be.
What do you play? Tell me about the Bloom Trio.
We play a lot of fun stuff. We actually just did a concert in Stanton where we were joined by Elise Blake, who's a member of the Afton String Quartet over in Charlottesville. So we did a Mozart quartet, and then we did some Gershwin arrangements, and we did a tango. And so, you know, we try and keep it. We want to play the standards. We want to play Mozart and Beethoven and those kind of pinnacles of classical music because they did it so well. But at the same time, it's great to expand and play. We play ragtimes and we play fiddle tunes and we play, all sorts of fun stuff. So
how, on a satisfaction level, how's it working for you?
So far, so good. I mean, it's so much fun to get together with people who not only do you work really well with, but then we can just have a fun time playing together as well. And, you know, socializing and playing. We work well together. We have similar ideas. It's not like we're fighting over things, because that can happen in chamber music. You know, chamber music is a prickly beast because it is. It's just three or four or more or less, depending, people trying to make decisions. And a lot of times with musicians, they're pretty opinionated about what they like, what they don't like. Yeah, exactly. Surprising. And I've been in settings where people butt heads and it gets to be really personal, because this is it's a very personal thing. You know, your musical ideas and your musical tastes, like, it's very personal. And so, you know, we've never had any of that with us. You know, it's just we get along really well. We agree on things. It's been really nice so far.
Kathleen Overfield Zook of the Bloom Trio.